Welcome back to FC Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Scott. Cheers for hanging out with us again for another hour or so. There are lots of options out there, so thanks for listening to us three rattle along. Actually, us two this week. We'll get onto that in a sec. Be a friend, tell a friend. If not, just act like it never happened. Bit of a change up this week. As I just mentioned, James is having his leaving due for work. He only mentioned this at like, what time was it, Jack? Like 4 o'clock?
Yeah, like a couple hours before the show. In other words, he bottled it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just cashed out last minute. He's like, Bundesliga's over, title's wrapped up. I'm out of here. I'm going out on the piss. Never mind. Not feeling it today, is he?
No, he phoned it in, mate. He phoned it in. Called in sick.
Anyway, salutes to the FC Podcast Ultras. Thank you guys again for voting in everything that we do on Twitter. Participating in those are at FC Podcast 2. And we have lots of posts over on Instagram. That's at FC underscore podcast. As always, we do what we do over here, which is looking over the biggest headlines in football, which we then have a little bit of a side story, which is normally one of our clubs. I think this week, after such a tumultuous week, we'll be talking about Chelsea. We'll also have our Hall of Fame as Clown of the Week and also put some respect on that man's name news to finish. Well, Jack, where should we start? I think it's only right that we look at the big man up front for Tottenham, maybe not for too long, in Harry Kane. Been linked with City, he's been linked with United and Chelsea, especially after he dropped that bombshell the other day of saying that he wanted to leave for pastures new. I want to win trophies. I don't want to look back on my career with regrets. What was your reaction the first time that you saw that? I'm sure you had a bit of a smile on your face.
I felt like he was going to have to do something like this if he wanted to get a move. I mean, he's going to have to do a lot more to get a move this summer, because he's got 3 years left on his deal. I was surprised by the timing of it. I was surprised that they still had 2 games left to play. And I was surprised that it was reported by Sky that he wanted it all done and dusted before the Euros, which I think is quite naive of him. Ain't no chance that's going to be done before the Euros, surely. Unless something's already been agreed.
I'd be very surprised if something's already agreed, like Daniel Levy is. Not somebody that's just going to make a deal very quickly. He likes to drag it out. He likes to squeeze as much as he can out of the deal, especially if it's one that he doesn't want to make, which I'm sure this one most certainly is. Most striking thing for me about this is the interview he's done with Gary Neville.
Yeah.
It surprised me that he's done that, especially so soon after it's come out. It shows as well that his team must have leaked this news.
Oh, absolutely.
And has got somebody that's gone to the press and gone, look, he wants a move. This is how we're going to get it done. What were your thoughts on some of the things that he said? I was very surprised that he spoke about Daniel Levy. It's not something that I thought that Daniel Levy would like him to have done in the public eye. But he spoke about their relationship and saying, oh, you know, we need to sit down, we need to have a meeting. First of all, do you think this is actually going to happen? Do you think Kane's going to go this summer?
My gut feeling is no. I don't think it'll happen because I don't see a team that'll be willing to pay 120 million plus with his history of injuries. I think Levy's going to price him out of the market. He's going to price him out of a move. However, I think what's happened in the last week with what came out on Monday, and this interview with Gary Neville, where he said, I need to have a sit-down conversation with the chairman and we both need to be honest. He's clearly serious about this.
Mm-hmm. The words that he spoke, it's something that we predicted Kane might eventually do, like that lack of trophies.
But not this soon.
As they mentioned in that interview, you know, the cycle of a new team. But he has literally seen Mourinho leave, looking at the team and just going, I'm not going to win anything. I saw a clip on Twitter the other day that was him going, oh, for fuck's sake, like, fuck this.
Yeah, that was like, this morning.
During one of the games.
It was from last night's game.
Yeah, so I've seen that recently. That's that must be very frustrating. But when you hear how confident, but the thing that struck out to me the most was his confidence, where he was going, I should be getting 40, 50, 60 goals a season. And on top of that, Gary Neville then going, 1 million, you should be a 2 million player. Is that going to have like the the Elon Musk effect, like the Dogecoin effect, is suddenly his price going to go shooting up because that's what Gary Neville said in an interview.
Yeah, ain't no way anyone's paying $200 million for him, mate.
No, you've got no chance. Absolutely no chance, especially in this market. I mean, for anyone, it'll be interesting to see what the opening bid will be.
Yeah. I mean, for anyone that hasn't seen this with Gary Neville, I've got the quote here where Kane talks about his future. It goes, "I think there's definitely a conversation to be had. It's a moment where I have to reflect and have a conversation with the chairman. I hope we've had a good enough relationship. After 16 years, I hope that we can have an honest conversation."
And I wonder what that conversation's going to entail.
Wait, I want a new deal.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Yeah, it is, and I want a new deal. He said to him as well, he was like, he's paid me fairly, but I think where the contract that he's going to be asking for his next gig is going to be worth a lot more than the one that he's got for Tottenham right now.
Yeah, but it's not the money though, is it? I mean, he's on $200,000 per week. Okay, he's not the highest paid at the club because of that bloody Gareth Bale loan signing. But it's not the money, though.
Yeah.
A player of his calibre is always going to get the money. It's what he wants to retire with in terms of his legacy. He's 28 years old. He's considered top three strikers in the world. And he's won zero trophies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He mentioned as well, you know, he said, "I'm going to have the next 10 years of my career." When you look at the likes of Zlatan and even like Luis Suarez, these players are still playing at a high level continuously now into the 30s. I suppose that's modern sports science and nutrition for you. But speaking of the teams that are going to pay him the money, the candidates that have been brought forward so far, well, look here, it's Chelsea, Manchester United and Man City. Which one do you think is the most, which is the least likeliest out of those three?
Chelsea.
I agree.
Because Levy
It's an absolute unbelievable move, wouldn't it, for the captain of Spurs to move to Chelsea?
What would be the bigger nightmare for Spurs? Sol Campbell going to Arsenal in the way he did, or Kane going to Chelsea after recent years with Chelsea and Spurs?
I think it might be Spurs. I think if Kane wants to have that legacy with Spurs and, you know, how he said, "Oh, I love Spurs."
That'd be out the window if he goes to Chelsea. That'd be good.
Out of the window. Absolutely out of the window. There'll be people. I don't know whether people have started burning Kane shirts outside of the
Spurs. Nah, it's not happened yet. Spurs they blame Levy, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They always blame Levy.
This is a very similar situation to Van Persie in 2012. There's so many similarities
here. Yeah, it is.
Where... Okay, Van Persie has publicly said in recent years that Arsenal never really offered him a new deal and he had to kind of leave. But it's similar in the fact that both Chelsea and the two Manchester clubs are after Kane, like they were with Van Persie. And wherever Van Persie was going to go was going to determine the landscape of the Premier League in the following year or two to follow. Mm. And this is the exact same situation with Kane. If Kane goes to Manchester United, and I know I've said... United will never win a league title with Maguire starting. Harry Kane could obviously change that and prove me wrong because you're adding straight up around 20-plus league goals a season to that team. That instantly makes United title contenders. And I know they're going to finish second this season, but they weren't really title contenders when it was all said and done. The gap was so far.
They didn't really keep the pace. Like, there are only so many points now in front of Liverpool. Yeah. There were like 4 or 5 points.
This puts them a lot hell closer with Man City. And it's the same with Chelsea. You put Harry Kane into that Chelsea team, bloody hell. They're a big threat, not just against City, but they're a giant threat in Europe consistently going forward. However, Kane goes to Man City, the league's a fucking write-off.
This is what I was saying to you last week about...
No chance.
This was the thing that I was saying to you about the fear of the Farmers League. If Kane goes to City, it's Lewandowski moving from Dortmund to Bayern. That's what will be happening. We'll be looking at a player who Guardiola will get his hands on and go, right, this team is now built around him. He is my new Messi. And he's at 28 years old. He'll get him playing until he's 34, 35. Dynasty. Kane will win everything. He'll break all the records. And I think that is the move that Harry Kane wants by the sounds of things. Because if you go to Manchester United, like you said, a team with Maguire will never win the league. Maguire's not going anywhere. So even if Kane goes into that team, he's still got is Ollie really a top scale manager? Is that team?
I think he can win a trophy at United 100% if he goes there.
He'll win a trophy, but I don't think he'll win the trophies that Kane really wants to win, which is the Champions League, which is the Premier
League
consistently.
Though. I mean, they'd still have to keep on building with him at United. But if he goes to City, it's kind of like a guaranteed kind of thing.
Oh, if he goes to City, it's Durant going to
I was literally just about to say it's KD. It's 2016 all over again. Fucking nightmare.
And what happened, for people that are listening that don't know basketball, it was a massacre, wasn't it? When
a player
goes to a super team, it's just game over in any sport.
They were like a 73 win team, and then they got the second best player in the world to join them on a free transfer.
Just brutal. It's like I say, this could be Lewandowski moving to the Dortmund, but for a ridiculous fee. I really don't want him to go to Manchester United because then that turns them into a really dangerous
team. I don't think
team.
He'll end up at
and
City.
And a lot of the players all then want to stay. But what makes you say that? Because for me, it seems City or bust.
A couple of
things.
Who
else can really afford it?
City don't tend to do business like this. They've never spent over $75 million on a player. And I know you could say, well, they're due one now. True. But it's just not how they do business. They never get involved in bidding wars. So they're not going to... They're not going to play into Levy's games and just keep on going and going. After a while, they just stop and they just change targets. It happened with Alexis Sanchez. Mm. It happened with Maguire. And it happened with Fred. As soon as they felt there was competition
network. They're happy
and they'd have to play over the odds, they just went, we'll look elsewhere. And I honestly don't think City will sign a striker this summer. I don't think they'll replace Aguero. I think they'll continue with the false striker. And I could see them going in for someone like
Grealish.
After
the Ferran Torres comments?
No. I've been saying this before.
Grealish would be an exciting.
Foden's been playing the false nine role. De Bruyne played it at home against PSG in the second leg, the Champions League semi-final. You've got Bernardo Silva, you've got Mahrez, and you've got Sterling. All these players can play across the front three. And De Bruyne can play deep as well.
Mm.
And Grealish can play
the role. This is true. I think Grealish would be a really exciting addition to that team. It's a summer of English players that could potentially be on the move. You know, there's Grealish, there's Kane, there's Sancho. I know Chelsea were linked to Jude Bellingham slightly, but he seems like the least likely to move.
Dominate selling him just yet. Well, the thing is, it's the English clubs with all the money. They're going to be the ones this summer that will be spending on the big transfers. It won't be the other European clubs. The Spanish can't afford the transfers. Mm. The Italians can't really afford it either. The only two outside of
Not
the Prem are PSG and Bayern Munich. And PSG's sole focus now after re-signing Neymar is getting Mbappe re-signed.
Yeah, it's not going to be a lot of movement, which is a shame because there is an opportunity for one signing to go and then all of the money from one move
will
be moved around.
I think there could be a lot of movement. It just may not be on the transfer fee scale that we've known to expect in previous summers.
Which I think is a good thing.
But I do think the English clubs will spend big.
Yeah. I can see that. It seems like the English league will now have the opportunity to pull away slightly, especially after the financial deficit that's been hit.
Which is why the European teams wanted the Super League so badly.
Yeah, so they could keep in on the game. Well, Chelsea are going to be playing in the Champions League final, not this weekend, the weekend after the 29th of May. They had a final this weekend. Was it earlier this Sunday, I believe?
Oh, Saturday.
Saturday, that was correct, yes. A lot of people thought it was a bit drab in the first half, but thought a fine game that finished with a great goal. Some will debate the right team won. I thought Tielemans' goal was absolutely cracking. What was your thoughts on the FA Cup? Were you in a similar position to the video of the Chelsea fans that was going around of them celebrating and then VAR kicked in?
Yes. I was at work going absolutely mental when Chilwell scored.
Oh, talk me through it, man. What was the process from the ball hitting the back of the net to everyone pointing to the screen?
We're taking this extra time and we can beat it now. We've got this. The momentum swung. Get this extra time and we can do them over. It was just pure euphoria. I was just over the moon. I was going mental. There was two Chelsea fans, including me, in the office. The rest were like all Arsenal, United and West Ham fans. And the other Chelsea fan wouldn't celebrate because of VAR. And I looked at him, and then I looked back at the TV, and I just heard the commentary go, "And we're going to be having a VAR check here." And I just sunk into my chair and just couldn't move. Heartbroken. I hate it now.
I hate the old VAR. I understand, like, when you're getting upset about a bad decision or things like that, but when it's VAR, it's not even like it's like a soulful reaction. You're just a bit like, oh.
It's taken a lot out of the game, but given something back in return.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't even say the correct decisions are made every time. Because just look at a game on Tuesday night. Werner was clearly fouled by Tielemans inside the box. They went to VAR and they still deemed it wasn't a fucking penalty. Are you blind?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, it was two very different games. I didn't think Chelsea played amazing in the final. It's just struggled to put the ball in the back of the
net. We lacked that intensity at times. I felt Werner was making all the runs and stretching the defence in the final, but no one was running with him. So whenever he was making that run,
he seemed very isolated.
He'd look back and there was no Ziyech, there was no Mount. And it was like, they just didn't have that spark and intensity. And obviously, Schmeichel made two incredible saves. You had the Chilwell one where he tipped it under the post.
Unbelievable goalkeeper.
And then, fuck knows how he saved that Mount shot.
Yeah, he's really gone under the radar, Kasper Schmeichel, of how quite excellent a goalkeeper is, but not just a good goalkeeper. I think he's a great leader as well.
Big part,
fantastic captain for that club. Like, you see a lot of the interaction that he had with the owner during the final, making sure that every single person got the trophy. Like, Wes Morgan got to hold the trophy. I thought his leadership skills on the pitch was absolutely excellent. He's a testament to his character. I thought it was a great FA Cup final. It's one of the most more entertaining finals I can remember recently.
It's got to be one of the best Arsenal final winning era. Goals ever, ain't it? It's up there with
unbelievable
Ray Parlour's goal, which was also against Chelsea.
Absolutely flew off my sofa, I did. I was like, that's an FA Cup final goal. There we go, back of the net. Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one. But, you know, sentiment of revenge on Tuesday night, you know, Chelsea have now leapfrogged Chelsea into the top four. Probably the most exciting top four race in recent memory that I can remember.
Last year's one went down to the last day.
This one seems a bit more interesting.
Yeah, that's because you're involved in it. And it looks like you're going to get top four now because your fucking goalkeeper scoring in the final.
Yeah, I know it does, yeah. Yeah, we've sneaked that one, yeah. It's interesting now, like, doing the old Euro adventure just as, like, almost like a new footballing hobby just to rekindle the love. But I have to admit, like, it was nice seeing fans in a football ground and I was a bit like, ooh, you know, like, new kits have come out today and you get a bit of that loving feeling back for football. Definitely felt out of it after all the Super League bollocks and all this sort of stuff. So, go on then, how did it feel? Were you feeling like Rudiger? Did you want to, like, get up and get all Chelsea and, like, whoa, we're in the top four, of course.
Yeah, I went absolutely mental at full-time, mate. Absolutely mental. We fully deserved to win that game. The intensity, unlike the final, was really there from the get-go. The players played with... It looked like they had a chip on their shoulder and it showed in the game, especially in that second half. It was getting a little bit feisty, a little bit nasty. And I think I liked a bit of that. I liked a bit of fight there from us. And we should have scored more. We should have been given a penalty as well. But we fully deserved that. The only bad takeaway from the game was, again, just a lapse of concentration. Just almost cost us. That goal, like, what's Kovo doing there?
Yeah, there just seems to almost be like...
We always seem to create our own
problems.
I know
that Kante is a fantastic player that leads by example, but he's not very vocal, is he? He's not like a really commanding presence, I'd say, in your midfield. That seems to be where the mistakes come from for me, because your defence, like, once the ball is taken through the midfield, your defence is on the back foot. And that's not necessarily always where you guys strive. You're a counter-attacking team. Like, being caught on the counter is the exact opposite of what you want to be.
Yeah, and Jorginho is meant to be one of our biggest leaders. And then you saw what he did against Arsenal.
Yeah.
I'm worried a little bit about Kante. He went off after like 20 minutes. I'm hoping that was just a precaution. And he's ready to go for the final.
Yeah, definitely. He's the one player that you would be loath to miss at that final in Porto. It's Yeah, that's the one play that I would feel sad about being. You don't want any play
no, of course not. In
the final. You want to have your full strength team. You want to have your full strength team. It's going to be an exciting final. Have you decided where you're going to be watching it? Just
not yet. Still haven't decided it. I've got the days booked off, the Saturday and Sunday, but I haven't found a place yet. I'm still on the fence, seeing what's going to be happening, see what people are saying.
Yeah.
The nerves are already
kicking in. I tried to book. Oh, really? The nerves kicking in already?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I've booked in for a place in Manchester for me and James, so hopefully that'll be...
Oh, what, the so-called German expert?
Yeah, oh, no, he has German expertise, just not a lot of it.
He doesn't know anything outside of Bayern Munich.
He's very tailored.
I asked him who are certain players for Wolfsburg, and his reply was, who?
I know, I think that's because you always take the piss.
And then I asked him about another Wolfsburg player, and he was like, never heard of him. But this Wolfsburg player is an American international who had been playing for Wolfsburg and Hertha Berlin for the last 6-7 years in the Bundesliga.
Bloody hell. Do you know what? It's quite impressive, these American players that are coming through. I'm going to be interested to watch them in the World Cup in a couple of years' time. I think they might have quite a decent squad.
They didn't even make the last World Cup.
No, but you've got to look to the future. You can't look at the past.
Yeah.
Like, look at the players that they've got
Dest, they've got Pulisic, McKennie, Reina.
Reina. I always think of Pepe when people say Reina. It's a shame when players double up on names. You always then have to like hyphen it off and all this bollocks. So is there anything else you wanted to discuss about football this week? Because I have a little tidbit from Germany that I saw.
Yeah, I think one thing we should address is the shocking news of Karim Benzema. He's going to the Euros. Where the fuck has that come from?
Back in the France squad.
He hasn't played for France since 2015.
Suddenly, France are currently a firm favourite because Karim Benzema has been balling out this season. Even though Real Madrid struggled for their standard.
This season, he's been doing it every season. Most underrated player of the last decade. Yeah. I saw a stat sign. It was something along the lines of when Benzema either like made his debut for France or scored his first goal for France, Mbappe was like 8 years old or 10 years old.
Wow. And even then, Benzema would have been a young player, like breaking onto the scene.
Well, he got the big move to Real Madrid in 2009 for 30 mil.
30 million.
And that was a lot of money then.
I wonder how much divided by every goal he scored for Real Madrid or every assist and every trophy he's won, how much that 30 million actually cost.
he paid up, didn't he?
Per goal.
In that summer, they spent 30 mil on Benzema, 60 mil on Kaká, and 80 mil on Ronaldo.
Unbelievable. I don't think we'll see the like again for a while, and I don't think we'll see it from Real Madrid. I don't think the next Galactico side will be Spanish. I have a sneaky feeling they might be English.
Or from Paris. To be fair, you don't need to be a Galactico team to be highly successful in Europe. Bayern Munich have shown that many, many times.
Oh, yeah, that is very true.
I mean, you should know that.
Although if Kane does go to City... If Kane goes to City, Blue Moon, I would say that they become a bit of a superpower. Because you look at that team, like just the depth would just be freaking ridiculous. Imagine replacing Aguero with fucking Harry Kane.
It'd be unfair,
Kane,
wouldn't
like,
it?
Fuck,
it'd be really unfair.
It's just a bullshit FIFA move. That it's like story mode all over again.
Nah, I don't want to think of it. I honestly don't think he'll go there.
If he does, though, he's scoring 40 goals a season. More.
Yeah, in all competitions, not in the league.
Oh, I don't know. Salah nearly did it.
He got 32 in the league.
Yeah, he could have got more if he'd
not. The record is like 36 or something, but it's either Ronaldo or Henry, and Suarez almost broke 31. It. Was it 31 he got in the end? So maybe the record's 34 then, because Suarez almost broke it.
You've got to remember, though, that Suarez was out for like the first six games.
Yeah, but it's his own fault because he tried to take a chunk out of Ivanovic's arm. That's why he got. It's why he missed like the first 2 to 3 months of the season.
Yeah, fair point.
You would have probably won the league had he not done that.
Yeah, we probably would have won the league. That's the unfortunate thing about a player like that is he's had his success somewhere. Where his behaviour is a little bit more tolerated.
He's calmed down now. He hasn't bit into someone for 7 years.
No, Messi calmed him down, I think. I think he just enjoys sitting in the sun, drinking some sangria, relaxing, maybe going to one of the little coffee shops in Barcelona, chill.
He's still a shithouse, though.
Great time. Oh, absolute shithouse. Although the shithousery that he's performing at Atletico Madrid, he's completely showing up Barcelona.
I thought he was finished.
7 million euros.
I thought he was finished, mate. He's on another. I mean, I did say signing of the season. Called it.
Yeah, you did. All that time ago.
If they win the league, what a slap in the face to Barcelona.
Yeah, there's quite a few slaps in the face. It's just like Barcelona just keeps taking an L. Just constant L's.
I still don't
Barcelona.
Know what's going to happen with Messi.
I know.
Hey,
I know. Because if Mbappe stays at PSG, Messi can't be going there. He just can't.
Could you imagine if he did?
Like, what would it be? It'd be the
Di Maria on the bench.
Neymar. It'd be Eminem.
Eminem.
That'd be sick. I'd love to see that. Eminem.
Hey,
from
back
PSG.
To Benzema. Have you seen what their starting lineup could be with him in the team? Because Deschamps spoke.
No,
I think it was Tuesday when they announced the squad, wasn't it? So Deschamps said he's not coming to the Euros to be on the bench. So he's starting. And a predicted lineup was something like a front four of Mbappe, Benzema, Koeman, and then Griezmann playing the number 10 role, and then a two-man midfield of Pogba and Kante. And then the back four would be Hernandez at left-back, Pavard at right-back, Varane and Kimpembe, and then Lloris in goal. On paper, that's the best team in international football, let alone the Euros.
Probably world football. Like, I don't think there's even a squad team that's beaten that team. I think that is probably the best starting 11 that you could assemble on FIFA to get full chemistry.
It's fucking mental.
Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. Can you imagine Benzema like playing off of like Mbappe and Koeman, and then they're just like, "All right, one of them's not working. Who have we got on the bench?"
Oh, we'll just bring on Ousmane Dembele. Just casually.
Yeah, casual. Just give him a run around last 10
Giroud
minutes.
Giroud for like a final 10 minutes.
Just to be a shithouse. Just get a big old header.
Also, Sissoko,
although it's
going to
be interesting to see.
How the fuck has he done that?
What, Moussa?
Yeah. Well, they're lacking up.
Moussa
Sissoko. They're lacking up in midfielders. So Sissoko got in, and Tolisso's in as well.
Nah, he got
and
a recommendation.
And they've got
Rabiot,
and then they've got Thomas Lamar.
Thomas Lamar. No, he got a good recommendation from Jose, did old Moussa. You got to remember, he played for him during the World Cup and stuff. Like, he played right back and all sorts.
Well, for France?
I think
he didn't
so,
start.
Yeah. Wasn't it Moussa Sissoko?
He did.
No, but he used to come on. He's a bit of a utility player, wasn't he?
It's like when...
It's like, throw him on as a body in the Fellaini role.
Do you remember that when he got caught on camera at the Euros? It was 2016, and he was like just casually, he was meant to be like warming up. And he was just standing there doing fuck all. And then he saw the cameras on him and he just quickly just started jogging on the spot. And he just started sprinting around.
Fucking love it.
And his face
absolutely
just dropped.
Love it. He's like, oh, just fucking running around. I've seen, there's been some good like fan moments like footballers in the stands recently. Did you see Haaland's reaction against, I can't remember who they were playing. But final winning goal, and he absolutely lost his shit. He was flying around the stands, like grabbing people and like ragging them about and all sorts of stuff. He's an absolute savage.
The best will always be Ronaldo in that final in 2016 when he went to, he like celebrated. Like he was literally on the touchline on crutches, just screaming at his teammates. And there was a point where like he ran down the byline on one leg to scream at Guerrero to like get up and get back into his position. And then he went like,
did you see
in
what
celebration,
he
pushed the manager. And I don't think he realised how much strength he had. And the manager went fucking flying. Like, not over, but like, he did
move a bit. Did you see him talking to Yao Moutinho about taking a penalty?
Yeah, that was that same tournament. That was against Poland.
Yeah, he's like, have some personality.
He's like, if you miss, you miss. But at least try. And he was like, God's on our side or something. Because I think Martini I missed in 2012.
So the old Stuart Pearce effect. Wanted to take a penalty. Yeah. Didn't want to take a penalty. Well, what we'll do, seeing as James isn't here, but now I've kind of got €50 into the old...
Oh, you're a Bayern Munich fan now, are you? Makes a change.
Yeah. I've put the investment in, mate. I'm spreading. I'm making a business portfolio and putting buying in.
So how many clubs is this now? Sponsor. Liverpool, Doncaster, Bayern Munich, and Man City. Blue mode.
Yes, James isn't here. He's off getting hammered somewhere and chewing some poor girl's ear off while he's at his work's leaving due. But remember, James, 1 meter apart until June 21st. I hope everybody's staying safe. So one thing that I've got from the bare minimum this week, Jack, is that Bayern Munich, after winning their 30th title in the Bundesliga, have now got 5 stars on their crest. Now, this is something that I would like to see adopted in the Premier League because I think it's cool.
Oh, what, for the amount of European Cups they got?
No, for the amount of league titles they've won. Because they've won 30 Bundesligas, they've now earned a 5th star in their crest. That's why they have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right.
I thought it was to do with the amount of Champions Leagues you won or European Cups.
No. So when they've Juventus won more than five, have got anyway. 3, yeah. it's because they've won like 15 or 20.
Right. Well,
they're
apparently changing the crest on the cool. Champions League badges, aren't they? So you know where they have like the Champions League logo on like your right arm? Well, they're about to change it now where it'd still have the logo, but on top of the logo, it'd have the amount of Champions Leagues or European Cups. It looks shit.
So what's it going to be? Just be like,
it'd be like the Champions League logo in the background with like Liverpool having 6 on it.
Oh.
They don't look great. And like Ajax having like 4.
Yeah, it doesn't. Really? I haven't seen any photos of that. I'd have to check that out. But I think it would be really cool to have because then like Liverpool would have 4. Man United would have...
They do that with international teams as well.
Man United would have 4. As well. Liverpool would have 3. Yeah, yeah. How many leagues have Chelsea won?
Oh, fucking hell. 17, 10, 12, 13, 14... 10, 6, 5, and then we won it in 55. I don't know if we won it any more times in the 50s. Can't remember.
Is that what, 6?
That'd be like, unless we're just talking strictly Premier League, then it would be 5.
Well, there you go. So you've won it 5 times, so you get 1 star. It's like City have won it 5 times, so they'd get a star. And, you know, Liverpool would have 3 and even like Aston Villa and Everton and teams
whoa,
like
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You've only won the Premier League once, son. Easy, son. It took you 30 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is true if we're doing it from the Premier League. That is very true. But obviously, like Bayern have now got their 5th one. I think the closest to them is Mönchengladbach with 2.
Sums it up,
don't
it?
Dortmund
sums it
2. But that's why like Inter Milan have got... a star and AC Milan have got a star.
I always surprised to do a European Cups. Hence why Inter Milan had 1.
No, so Inter Milan have got 1 because when they won the league in the treble, I think they also won the 5th Scudetto, which is why they got the star.
Oh, they've won it more than 5 times, surely.
Which is what I thought.
They definitely have.
So I don't know whether
I think that's the European Cup
anybody
because
listening that wants to educate.
They won it twice with Mancini back in 06. 07?
Yeah.
They might have even done it in 08.
Yeah, this is true.
And they would have definitely won it pre-90s as well. They had a successful period in like the 50s and 60s, I'm sure.
Yeah, you'll definitely have to fact check that one.
And Juve have won fucking loads. Well, they've had a few taken away from them due to match fixing scandals.
Yeah.
Speaking of match fixing, apparently a couple of referees in Italy have been suspended. And an investigation is ongoing for tampering with match.
What, for now?
Yep. Starting to come out today.
Oh, fucking hell. With who?
Just referees at the moment.
Wow. But obviously...
More to follow.
With referees, obviously, there is teams as well, isn't there? So, tell you what, the one team, if that affects... If it is Juventus, good Lord, it'll be a fire sale.
Who were the teams last time? There was Juve, the main one. AC Milan, Fiorentina, Calegri, Roma, Lazio. I don't think they were involved. The main one that wasn't involved was Inter Milan. There was about 6 of them, 5 or 6 clubs. And Juve were the ones that were kicked out of the league.
So why was that then?
I'll tell you what, like, the one thing I'd be worried about, whenever there seems to be a big match-fixing scandal in Italy, it's normally in a tournament year, and Italy going to win the freaking tournament. It happened in 82, and it happened in 2006 when they won the World Cups.
Maybe that's why they
did it. They want to win the Euros, they're mate.
Like, right, guys, let's time it up, boys. We're winning the
Euros. Immobile's going to have an unbelievable tournament.
It would be great for Immobile to have
He's been shit for Italy, ain't he?
Yeah, but I saw that he's now like Lazio's all-time top goal scorer. We think some of the players that have played at Lazio.
Yeah, Crespo.
Yeah.
Simeone.
Yeah. Although not
no, I meant sorry, Simeone and Zaghi, sorry. Not.
Oh, right, yeah.
I realised I didn't make that clear when I said Simeone. I was like, oh shit, no, not the Atletico Madrid manager. He was a midfielder.
I was like, Diego Simeone, all-time world track star and goal scorer. Absolutely mad lad.
Yeah, the prolific goal scorer, Juan Sesteban Ferran.
Now, the only thing that he used to do was bank checks.
Mate, he was unreal in Italy. Just, he couldn't transition it into England. The issue was...
It is a shame, that, isn't it?
His different styles of football. Back then in England, it was like a 4-4-2. I reckon he would have been far more successful if United played in a three. But then United didn't have the players like that. I mean, you had Giggs on one side, Beckham on the right, Scholes and Keane.
Yeah. Couldn't play that way. It wasn't, the UK wasn't ready for that sort of style of football.
It started to change with when Benitez and Mourinho came in at Liverpool and Chelsea back in 2004.
So when it all changed. And then don't forget Brendan Rodgers' famous diamond in the 13-14 Liverpool squad.
I mean, he didn't really do much, did he? Like, it didn't really have much of an effect on the English game, did it?
No, it's all a good giggle, though. It's all a good giggle. Time for a good giggle, definitely. Should we do Clown of the Week?
Go on, then.
Step right this way for Clown of the Week. Yes, we've had another successful graduate into clown school. Who did we have for our winner last week, mate?
I can't remember. Who did we?
We've had alcohol since then.
I put in Kimpembe, didn't I? But I don't think we went for him.
You did, yeah. Oh, I can't remember. We've put it online, and James normally does all the socials, so out of habit, I don't think I've
checked. Having a look now. Oh, that's poor from you. I'm having a look now.
Oh,
so Essien won the Hall of Fame. Mate.
Yeah, boy.
He didn't even put it on. I can't even remember last week's one. I genuinely can't remember. Doesn't sound good.
Bastard. Get out your work doing. Come do some work.
I can't remember. Who did we have? We had Kimpembe. I feel like there was a big one where we all kind of went, yeah, he has to be Clown of the Week.
Can't remember.
I can't.
Honestly, during COVID, I can't remember anything.
The weeks are just merging together.
Days just blur into it. Yeah, everything just merges into each other. Like, half the reason we've done this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, is to have some resemblance of normality.
I'm struggling here.
Oh, well. Who have you got for this week while we ever think about last week?
I was struggling for this week as well. I mean... I don't think there was many contenders this week. I've gone for Ashley Barnes for getting done for drink driving.
Yeah, that's not great.
Nah, that was a pretty dumb move.
Yeah, we don't condone that. I, on the other hand, have got a clown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Surprised. I can't believe you didn't think of this one, mate. Did you not see the Chelsea fans reacting at Wembley at the final?
Oh, what? At the start?
No, when the goal went in, they got disallowed, giving it large.
Yeah.
I was like, we're back in football, things you love to see. And obviously, I thought that it made you laugh. So that's my suggestion for this week's
clown. Am I a joke to you? Do I look like I'm laughing?
I don't know. Just my James isn't here, so I've got to like step up.
This is some joke. This is a disgrace.
Oh, come on. There must be something you can think of other than Ashley Barnes doing a DUI.
Yeah, I went for the Leicester player, Marte. Throwing a Chelsea fan. Chatting shit about Chelsea. And then each Chelsea player, well, as soon as they saw him on the in the scuffle on the touchline on Tuesday, one by one, you could see like their face just drop and just suddenly just start going for him.
So what's the story behind this then?
So they were celebrating their cup final win. And you know, at like the start of like finals and stuff, the captains would switch over pennants. So like Schmeichel would get hand over the Leicester flag kind of thing, pennant flag kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Azpilicueta would hand over the Chelsea flag. It'd be part of like sportsmanship and all that. Well, Leicester still had our one, everyone, I'm guessing, in their dressing room. Now, Marte went up to someone who was filming it with camera, went up to it, dancing, and then just threw it on the floor behind him. And then clearly the Chelsea players took some real offence to that, because when the scuffle, when the scuffle happened on Tuesday night, it all started to calm down. Mendy was clearing people. Thiago Silva looked like he was calm. And then as soon as he saw Marte running on, he just saw him, his face dropped, and he just pushed past him and went straight for him, put his finger pointed straight at Martin, went for him. Mount was ready to walk away. He turned around, saw him. He then looked at him and went straight for Martin. Azpilicueta is trying to pull Thiago Silva away, and then he turns around and sees who it is and sees it's Martin. So he's now gone for Martin as well. And of course, Rudiger's just looking for a fight, ain't he? He's like,
So you were,
and then the best thing.
So what's the story going on?
The best thing was when it finally died down, and Amarte was pulled right away by Leicester players. Alonso just happened to be fucking there with his big Chelsea buffer coat on, and just started going for him as well.
Oh man, it's like outside on Ladbroke Grove, isn't it? Just everyone.
Rudiger
getting...
came out after the game, and he basically said something along the lines of like, this is something that's bigger than us playing for Chelsea and those players playing for Leicester. This means more. It's more about the club than actually us. And then he was like, you just do not disrespect the club like that. And then Tuchel was asked after the game, were the Chelsea players aware of the video? And Tuchel said, yeah, the players were well aware.
Oh, that's the thing about social media as well, is like, whenever I used to play football, I used to like be up for the shithousery and the banter, but whenever you used to go into the dressing rooms and the game was finished, I used to hate like poor winners, like people that used to rub it in your face. Like the game's not about that. And the fact that social media plays into it as well, like obviously you're going to see it trending and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a player, it must sting 10 times as hard.
People talk about you got to win, you got to lose with class, but you've also got to win with class.
Oh, most definitely. Absolutely, most definitely.
And I thought the Leicester players did win with a lot of class, but that was just one bad moment. And the Chelsea players made that Leicester player fully aware of what I thought of him.
Yeah.
I'm still going with Barca because that's the most idiotic thing I've seen this week.
Yeah, fair. So it's Chelsea fans versus Ashley Barnes. Go ahead, go on the old Instagram and Twitter and vote on those. The links are in the description of the podcast.
Hey, well, that'll be fine for the Chelsea fans, I know it, and I don't blame them. I couldn't bear to watch the videos. They're all over my timeline. I couldn't, man. I just can't.
Absolute cringe. Honestly, that one is cringe.
I've seen so many.
Because like,
just heartbreaking.
They look like, but this particular one, I'm sure people that are listening to this will know. They are a proper set of wrong-uns.
It's heartbreaking, man. Just heartbreaking.
Chosk. Anyway. Right, yeah, go vote on those. Right, should we do the Hall of Fame?
Yes, let's do the Hall of Fame.
Right, who have you got for us?
Well, it is a big week looking back for Chelsea fans. So yesterday was the 19th of May, and yesterday, 9 years ago was when Chelsea won the Champions League and Drogba scored that penalty.
Oh.
So James is probably lucky he's not here right now, cheeky fucker.
Yeah,
greatest night of my life as a Chelsea fan. For me, Hall of Fame, Drogba. Scoring a penalty, winning us the Champions League. Can't beat it.
Talk to me, where were you?
I was in my front room with my dad, and the penalty shootout was just brutal. I mean, the whole game was just... Bayern Munich just absolutely battered us. Just full-on annihilated us. And we were holding on.
When Muller's goal went in, it was almost like the entire stadium just sucked the ball into the
goal. I just sunk into my chair, and I just thought, right, that's it, it's game over. And they even subbed off Muller. like 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes later for Van Buyten, and Muller's high-fiving, waving to the fans. They all thought they've won it.
Mm.
And then Torres wins the corner in injury time. Drogba! We're going to extra time, and then Drogba gives away a penalty. And then I remember I just walked out of my room. Out the front room. I couldn't bear to watch Robin's penalty. I sat outside by my front door, by the staircase, hands over my ears so I couldn't hear the commentary, just praying. And I could hear the commentator screaming. So I've just assumed Robin scored. So I've just walked back in the front room, all doom and gloom. And the first thing I see is Cenk with the ball in his hands, just lobbing it out wide. And I look at the score, and it's still 1-1. And I'm thinking, oh, shit. And then I see the replay of Cenk just actually saving it and then clutching the ball at his chest. And I was like, oh, my God.
Mm.
And I remember just thinking, just get to penalties. Just get to penalties. We then got to penalties, and then it dawned on me. Shit, we're playing a German team. They don't lose at penalties. Lahm scores the first.
Yeah.
And then Mattis misses the next one, our first one. And I just remember thinking, like, oh, it's over. We've come far, but we just can't take the piss now. Like, they got to win it. And then Olich misses. And then when Schweinsteiger missed, he hit a post. Because the thing is, Cenk went the right way for every single penalty that night.
Yeah, Cenk was the man of the match for that final. Most definitely. Like, he was incredible.
Mate, when Drogba stepped up, I remember just like dancing, on, like just hopping up and down, but I couldn't stop moving. I remember just kept, I'm such a negative fan, I just kept saying, he's going to fuck it, he's going to miss. And then he took no run up as well. He took no run up. Just literally just walked behind the ball, turned around, and then just smashed it past Neuer. And then that was just
calm as
you
like.
Just pure euphoria, mate. I just fell to my knees. What a night.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Bring on the 29.
One of the great, one of the great Champions League finals. I think the first time that a team playing in their own stadium ever lost.
In the Champions League era, yeah. In the European Cup, I think Roma lost in Rome to Liverpool in the 80s.
Yeah, they did. You were right, of course. But I meant it, like the new era.
I mean, it was all geared up for Bayern to win it that year. I don't know if they were the best team in Europe that year, because Barcelona were very good and Chelsea really
were. They
even had
gold on the kits. It was almost like they'd already won something.
They were a very good team, though, Bayern. And they were so much better in the following year. Hence why they won the treble.
Yeah. It was, to lose and then go on was a great feat. Still a brilliant game. I went to see a play a couple of years ago called We Anchor in Hope, and it was all set around people talking about like the best nights that they'd ever spent in a pub. Like the theatre was in a pub and you could buy a drink just while the play was on and stuff. It was quite cool. But at one point one guy talks about the best night of his life was when Drogba scored and like all of the TVs in the pub like turned onto the final and like people like celebrate the goal and stuff. You would have enjoyed it. It was cool.
Sounds like my kind of play, mate.
Yeah, so it was on at the Bunker Theatre in London. It's not there anymore, the theatre, actually.
All right.
Rip. Anyway, let's get on to my Hall of Fame. Scrolling through the old playlists on Spotify the other day, and I came across the FIFA 2004 soundtrack, and there's a song on there by a band called Sea.
Jerk It Out.
Jerk It Out.
Oh.
And you know what?
Have we put this
whenever
forward,
that song
have we
comes
put this
on,
forward before?
We've put the soundtrack forward before, but I had to single out this track because it's just...
You're stealing my suggestion. That was my suggestion.
Oh, come off. I knew you were trying to...
Oh, I did put the soundtrack for a reason. I mean, that's the best song on the soundtrack. You also had
I'm just
A Town Called Malice by The Jam. Oh. You also had Burn Burn by Lost Prophet. Oh, shit, never mind.
Yeah, we can't talk...
We can't talk about that.
Oh, well, never mind. It's a sad thing for you. I met Ian
Watkins. Well, Red Morning Light.
Yeah.
It's the intro. It's the intro to that game where you got the helicopter flying over the stadium and you got Henry running with the ball and they've got like the spotlight on him. He like gives it to Del Piero. He's then running with it and then they give it to Ronaldinho.
It's a worthy winner of the Hall of Fame, that one.
So good. And it's like playing Kings of Leon. So good. So good.
Yeah, it's good. But I had to single out Jerk It Out by Caesars because it's been in like Just Dance as well. And I remember like dancing to that once on like the Wii U at college or something like that. So slap it in, put it in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
actually, do you
one.
Know what? If you're listening to this, if you're listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, why not find that track and add it to the queue so when the podcast finishes, you get to enjoy the track.
I think you might win one.
Further into the Hall of Fame.
There's no James here.
James isn't here. I know. It's going to feel like a hollow victory.
I specifically timed your best suggestion for when there's least amount of people putting suggestions.
It's strategic, isn't it? It's quite tactical. I knew I could take you one-on-one, mate. Yeah.
It's a damn sure better than the fucking Europa League fame, so.
Yeah, less said about that, the better. Now, we've said good things, we've said bad things, but it's time to honour those that get nothing said about them at all. It's time for Put Some Respect on That Man's Name news.
Put some respect on that man's name.
Going to completely contradict my intro because my selection for Put Some Respect on That Man's Name news is a wonder goal by a goalkeeper. But Jack, I'd like to hear your suggestion first.
Oh, I thought you meant my take on a goal. My take's simple. Bullshit. No. Some bullshit, that.
Bullshit?
Some bullshit, that.
What, the goal? Yeah,
that's some bullshit.
What, why?
Didn't we suffer enough of the weekend? I had an awful weekend. Lose an FA Cup final. I get pissed on the way into work, like by torrential rain in London. I get in on Sunday.
Lucky.
I'm still reeling from the final. I find out my Dre beats are broken at work.
Oh, mate.
Not charging. They're just not turning on so. Probably because of the me getting drenched on the way into work on a Saturday. I'm sitting at work, minding my own business, just on my own, just trying to, just want to get through the shift. Just want to get out of there. And I just hear, it's still 1-0 with Liverpool West Brom. West Brom had a perfectly good goal disallowed. Bullshit again. And just here, we had a reporter live at the game, so he's ahead of the Sky Sports pictures. And we just hear, Alisson's coming up for the corner. It's going to be the last kick of the game here, last chance. He might want to come to me, said. 10 seconds later, Alisson's just scored. No, mate.
Oh, did you not get it live?
Oh, yeah, I looked up, and then I saw Trent take the corner, and Alisson just turned into
did they manage to
in the Champions League final and just do a bullet header past Johnston.
No, what I meant was, did they manage to get the commentary on air or did they miss the goal?
No, they missed the goal.
Oh, good. Oh, it's a shame they didn't catch that live. That would have been a great reaction. Still up there for me, one of the best. I know, but one of the best reactions ever was when Origi scored. Hearing that in my ear live was just mental.
Divock Origi!
We'll have to share some. I'll tell you what, when the time comes, we'll have to share a few Talk Sports stories, eh, Jack? We've got quite a few good ones.
Fucking Divock Origi. And he did it again in the Champions League final brilliant. When I slugged him off then as well.
Then he did it again? Oh,
I've learned my lesson
absolutely
now. I say nothing but praise for that man to stop him from scoring.
Yep. Before we move on to your selection, I just wanted you to hear this because the reason as to why I really wanted to put some respect on that man's name news is I don't know if you've heard the Brazilian commentary of Alisson's goal.
He sounds no different to Martin Tyler.
I'll tell you what, Martin Tyler last night sounded so sad when I was watching the Liverpool game.
Oh, yeah,
he's like Chamberlain scored and he just went like
Liverpool. No one wanted to be there. Even Ashley Barnes.
I know, but Martin Tyler now, like he's put some respect on that man's name news. It's just not the same anymore. It's just
not the same when watching him, listening to him on the Chelsea game.
It's just like, oh, it's a goal.
Peter Dury is still the best.
Who can replace him, though? Who is the
best combo will always be Clive and Andy.
Oh, Clive and Andy. Oh, the OG.
The nostalgia.
Oh. Yeah, beauty! Love it.
Well, that's not Clive or Andy.
I know, but I like Andy Gray as well.
Right,
I'm thinking about different.
I know.
I'm spitballing.
We're talking about Clive and Andy. You just start bringing up Andy Gray.
I know, because I'm thinking about commentaries that I like.
Yeah, the Clive one for me will always be Kaká at Old Trafford. When he. What's the goal? A long ball over, he controls it. And then Heinzer and maybe it's Fletcher and Heinzer both go for the ball with Kaká and Kaká like heads it in between them so they collide with each other and then knocks it past Ferdinand and it goes through on goal and slots it past Van der Sar and you just hear Clive just going, it's wonderful, wonderful from Kaká.
Oh, the composure, just sensational. Just sensational.
Absolutely. It's when he goes,
what a player, what a man.
He's taking him on his own there. It's wonderful from Kaká. Oh, that's it. He's played him on his own. Oh, that season, I think he won the Ballon d'Or and he was sensational. He was so good. He destroyed United that night. United ended up winning 3-2 because Kaká scored, I think, two goals to might have given him a 2-0 lead. And then Rooney then just took over. Prime Wayne Rooney. And then they went in with a lead to the San Siro and then Milan just battered them like 2-3-0.
Wasn't it Kaká, Rooney, and who was on the front of one FIFA that year?
Oh, this is
I know that Kaká was like
2009, ain't it? Because it was always Rooney and Ronaldinho, wasn't it?
Yeah, for a few years stretch it was, yeah.
Yeah. Kaká might have been like 2011 or something. I can't remember. He was on one of them.
I can't remember. Yeah, but he was sick. Yeah. I fucking love Kaká. Have you seen it when he plays in Hackney?
Yeah. Yeah. Square it.
In case this is a fucking like,
ball forward, I bet he's calm.
Square it.
I'm open. So funny. Yeah, anyway. He might be, mate, but this is Kaká.
Yeah,
the audacity of that play. Imagine having his confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's what we all dream of having. Asking Kaká to square it to you. Whatever side.
Square it to you, son. Square it to you, something. Then you'd definitely miss, wouldn't you? You'd have to. Just to really hit home the point. Right, who have you got in your put some respect?
I have got Roy Hodgson. It looks like he's 100% leaving Palace. It looks like he's leaving football, going off his speech after the game last night where he said this is a goodbye from Palace and from football. And
goodbye for Moy.
And yeah, I mean, what a career as a manager. He's managed all over the world, Switzerland. He's managed some obscure international teams. He's managed Inter Milan twice. And to be a manager of an Italian team in the 90s, you had to have something about you. Yeah, and he left Palace with class and dignity as well. He came in after the Boer fiasco and he just kept them up. And he's kept them up every season. Okay, the football hasn't been great. And I understand some Palace fans have been a little bit disgruntled. And they might feel it's a time for a change. But he got his respect last night. And I thought it was very classy of Arsenal to help with the Guard of Honour and all the Palace fans applauding. Yeah. And I thought, if that's even though they lost, if that's how you're going to go out of Palace with the fans there, everyone applauding you, that was a classy way. And I wish Roy all the best after football. I don't know what he's going to do next. So he's quite an old bloke. But he's been a great manager. I mean, the job at Fulham, I mean, he took Fulham to a Europa League final.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't think they had a right being there. But they deserve to be there on their performances. And they beat Juventus to get on their way to the final. Fulham beat Juventus on their way to the final.
Incredible.
Just incredible.
Absolutely.
And when he came in, they were pretty much relegated and he managed to keep them up right at the end. And then it might have been the following season they went on the European run. It can't have been. I don't know. I can't remember. Either the following season or the season after they went on the European run. Okay, he didn't do that great at Liverpool for like 6 months he was there. But after leaving Liverpool, he went to West Brom and he did a good job there for the time he was there before he then got the England job. And all right, the job didn't end well with the Iceland game. He made a couple of mistakes at that Euros. Mm. But I still felt he held the job with dignity as well. Classy manager, classy bloke. Put some respect in Roy's name.
Yeah, nice one, mate. I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate that one. Yeah, Roy Hodgson, what a timely manager. Didn't have the best of time with England, but, you know, can't knock the man. He's a legend of the game, and I'm sure he'll now be going to put his feet up and enjoy a nice glass of wine somewhere where it's warm. Anything you want to add before we wrap up, mate? Anything in the world of football that you want to just get off your chest before next week? Last game of the season.
It's all coming down to Sunday, ain't it? You know
what,
mate?
I'm excited. Who do you think's pulling through?
That I've got to fucking support Spurs on Sunday. They're playing Leicester, aren't they? Need them to win.
Of course, because
I've always rated Gareth Bale this season. What a signing he's been. And Eric Dyer, he's like the English version of Baresi. What a player.
What a man, myth legend.
Just what a great guy he is. He wouldn't do a bad thing. He'd never kick out of someone. Great player. And Kane, he's the best player of all time in this Premier League history. Love Spurs. Always have.
Nothing wrong with him. Gotta love him. Wow. Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough one. I think Liverpool are going to pull through now.
Yeah, you've got the momentum. The Alisson goal changed it. Yeah. That fucking Alisson goal.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a bit of luck in football, and that's something we've not had this season. Oh, one thing I will say before we wrap up. Bayern Munich's away kit's been announced today. James absolutely loves it. Oh, I really like it as well.
It's so great. Very Adidas, man. They do the best kits. Cool kit. It's why I was so very, very swish. Because ever since, apart from the kit I'm wearing right now, the white one with the collar, all our kits have been dog shite.
You not like the new one?
Well, let's just say this. We've lost 2 cup finals with it.
Oh, yeah. Could be the hat trick.
I mean, that added to the weekend, didn't it? The Women's Champions League final. Cool. Did they get battered? I don't know if you saw any of the game.
Brutal.
Bloody
absolutely
hell.
Brutal. I turned it on just to have a nosy and it was already 3-0. I was like,
they conceded
Jesus.
After 37 seconds. And it was an own goal where they went to clear it and they smacked it off someone and he went top corner. They panicked in the box. Oh. And you're thinking, oh, if you're doing that within 30 seconds, you're fucked. And the Barca played some brilliant football. Credit to them. They really played some really good stuff. And they just sliced them open. The game was over at half time and they were just going through the motions in the second half. It was a dead game.
Yeah, it was brutal, wasn't it? Absolutely brutal. Not something you want to see in the final. You want to see a good competitive game the whole way. But yeah, respect to Emma Hayes' team. Like obviously, they're on for the quadruple this year if they'd won.
Do you know what the final reminded me of?
Cup.
What? Istanbul had reality set in. It was Istanbul way it should have gone. No bullshit, 3 goals in 10 minutes. And then where Milan just can't score again afterwards, even though they had tons of chances.
None of the greatest comebacks of all time. Oh, man. One of those teams, like you look at that squad that AC had at the time.
It's one of those nights in football where you remember where you were when watching it.
Yep.
Unforgettable moment.
Yep.
Best football game I've ever watched in my life.
Unforgettable. Brilliant, brilliant game of football. Unforgettable indeed. Well, mate, I think that's a good place to wrap up. I think that's all we've got time for this week at FCP. So thanks, everybody that's listened right to the end. As always, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please give it a 5-star review. Tell us why you like it. Better yet, tell us what we could be doing better. And please share it with your friends. Be a friend, tell a friend. You know, that's how podcasts grow. Recommend us to your friends if you love us and watch us take to the skies. James, not here this week, but cheers wherever you are. Jack, cheers for your expertise this week. I've had a really good conversation. I've enjoyed it.
Pleasure,
it's
mate.
Been a good one. As always, get in touch with us on Twitter and on Instagram. Follow us on the links in the description below. Have a great week. Enjoy the games this weekend. Last one of the season. Who can believe it? We'll see you then. Take care. Bye.